This episode is brought to you by Modernize Home Services. From inquiry to installation, every step of your funnel covered. That's the approach behind Modernize Home Services, the growth platform built for home improvement companies. Here's how they do it. First, marketplace solutions, leads, inbound calls, and pre-qualified live transfers, giving your sales team a steady flow of opportunities. Next, HomeBuddy. Exclusive leads or booked appointments with pricing you set and control. Pre-screened homeowners matched to your business. And finally, 360 Finance. Point of sale financing for your customers. One application, multiple lenders, so price doesn't have to be the reason you lose a deal. Instead of relying on a single marketing channel, you get a complete marketing engine paired with an attentive account manager invested in your business. Visit modernize.com/pros and start filling your pipeline.
Everybody's looking at what does the next week look like? What does the next 2 weeks look like? And they never think like, am I building something for the future? And they're making decisions based on costs and expenses versus investments. That mindset shift really is what unlocks things. Because if you're not investing in your people, and then if you're not investing in marketing, you're never gonna have a business.
Have you ever felt like there's a secret club of successful contractors and you're left outside? Want in? Well, you just found the entry door. Welcome to the Wealthy Contractor Podcast. Each episode, we pull back the curtain, revealing the stories, strategies, and secrets that top leaders use to grow their home improvement business and enjoy more success, more wealth, and more freedom. Discover more at thewealthycontractor.com. Now let's get into today's episode.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Wealthy Contractor Podcast. This is Brian Kaskavalsian, and with me today is Carmelo Marsala. Carmelo, welcome.
Thanks, Brian. Thanks for having me.
Carmelo is up in the Great White North, our neighbors to the north, the Canadians. Carmelo has a very interesting business, a little bit different than what we usually talk about, but I thought it would be really interesting to get a totally different point of view on the business. And so, Carmelo, tell everybody what SprayNet is.
So we're a home improvement franchise, but I guess if you're speaking exactly about the service, basically I used to be a student painting franchisee. I used to paint houses with a brush and a roller. And I noticed that paint would chip, crack, peel, and it wouldn't last very long, especially specifically for front doors. That's how I started the business. So I looked at how they do it in a factory and I said, why don't those doors ever peel? How come those don't scratch? How come they last forever? So I figured if I could apply those products on site, we'd be onto something because we could, you know, offer something permanent. Easier said than done, those products are not made to be applied on site. So I said, well, what if we could tailor them to be able to apply them on site? And that's what we did. Met a chemist, started learning about paint formulation. And essentially what SprayNet is today is a factory durable finish on site for front doors, garage doors, windows, you name it. We've got 7 different revenue streams now. But that's what we do. We basically bring the factory on site to homeowners through custom chemistry, which means smarter painting.
You are the second person I'm interviewing today that started with College Pro Painters or some version. I think there was 2 major ones.
That's cool.
And it is incredible to me how many people have come out of College Pro Painters and have gone on to build really successful, significant businesses. Before we go into SprayNet, why do you think that is with College Pro Painters? Or if anybody's not familiar with them, tell us real quick, what was College Pro Painters and what was your experience with them?
Honestly, what they do is they take 18-year-olds who want to be in business and they give you a crash course and they say, go knock on some doors, get some jobs, hire some people, we'll show you how to sell, we'll show you how to manage those people, and go for it. Honestly, if you could do that at 18 years old, you could probably do anything thereafter.
You could do anything, right?
Yeah. So it's all I knew. I was literally knocking on doors. At one point, I had 20 people with me. I hired 20 people knocking on doors. And then I had 20 people painting houses with me. And it's just all I knew. I was 19 years old.
And it wasn't that long ago because you're still a really young guy.
Well, quite a while. Almost 20 years ago now.
How long were you in College Pro Painters?
So about 2.5 years before I started my own business. So it was my own business, right? I was a franchisee and then I started my own business. And then I can tell a story at some point if you want, but that's how we became a franchisor. Cause you know, I used to be a franchisee. I'm like, oh, maybe this is the right way to scale the business.
So you did College Pro Painters for 2.5 years. And did you sell it afterwards? What happens to those businesses? You had 20 people. I mean, you had some revenue.
Yeah, no, that makes sense, but it doesn't work the same way. So basically, there's no upfront fee. They lend you $5,000 for your marketing and all the initial stuff that you need. And then you pay it off over a high royalty in your first, second, or third year. But you don't actually own the business. You kind of just own the rights to operate it for the summer.
Interesting. Okay. And that's a summer-based business. So essentially, you get your friends together. There's one, always a ringleader, somebody like you, that goes to their friends and says, hey, you want to make some extra money, right?
Yep, exactly. And actually, I was standing on tables in the cafeteria of high school saying like, hey, who wants a summer job? And people would just put their names in and then we'd interview and hire them.
How were you so ambitious back then?
My father immigrated to Canada. He didn't speak the language. He learned the language. And by the time he passed away, I was 10 when he passed away, he had 5 restaurants. So for me growing up, having a business was just what you do. It wasn't really like an option. And I just knew that that was what I was going to do.
Yeah. Oh. What kind of restaurants?
Pizza, pasta, that kind of stuff.
And why didn't you take that business over?
My mom wasn't particularly interested in me kind of continuing in that business. So that's probably why. She really wanted me to do university and all that. So that's actually how I stumbled on College Pro.
Interesting, because home improvement can be, it can be a hard business and it's got some ugly elements to it. But that business, oh, that's the worst. That restaurant business is horrible. It's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
That was one thing. My mom didn't really, I think, want me working nights, weekends, holidays. So she's like, you need to go to school. You need to get a real job. Finally, I didn't get a real job, but I kind of created my own.
You created your own. Yeah. So 2.5 years, 3 years, you're in that. Did you graduate from university or you left?
I actually did. And I don't even know how. But I never picked up my diploma. Funny story. They called me a few times and they said, if you don't pick it up, we're going to destroy it. And I said, well, we're going to destroy it. Can I come watch? And then she hung up on me and I never got my diploma.
Interesting. Okay. But you finished.
I did.
Okay. How long did it take you?
4 years, I guess. Yeah, it took me a year longer. Yeah, it took me a year longer than it was supposed to.
Okay, so now you're, what, 22, 23 years old, and you get this idea that, hey, how come we can't put a durable paint on a door outside of a factory?
Yeah, well, the first idea was, how do I get these brush and roller marks out? Because it doesn't look that good. So the initial idea was like, let's spray on these coatings. And we sprayed them on. They looked a lot better, but they still scratched, chipped and whatever. And then that was the segue to, all right, well, now we don't just need to spray these. We need a better coating overall. And we need a better process. And that's how we got actually these patents here behind me.
Interesting. And so you're this kid that has this idea and you go and you find a chemist and you say to the chemist, hey, look, this is what I want to develop.
Yeah, I wish it was that simple. I probably reached out to like 30 people.
Okay.
And all told me this is not going to be possible. I actually took a flight to Missouri. I did a formulation course. The teacher, who's a PhD in chemistry, worked at one of the big painting companies, told me that's never going to work. It's not possible. That's why nobody's ever done it before. And I said, well, challenge accepted. And we're on LinkedIn. I literally added every chemist I could add. And some of them spoke to me. And one of them said, you know what? Like, I think we could do this. And that's how it started.
I'm always fascinated by people like you. You have this idea that no one else was really thinking about doing. You have no idea whether or not anybody's going to buy it. And yet you go full on as if you are possessed. You fly to Missouri. You reach out to chemists. You do all of this stuff. And as you are doing this, how are you funding this? How are you paying to live, let alone do the experiments?
Well, luckily, I had 2.5 pretty good years in college, in College Pro. So I was actually the top in my province and amongst the top in Canada. So I made pretty decent money. I must have made like over 200,000-300,000, like over those few summers. So I had some savings. And then I bought a truck and I started spraying houses too, right? So like, you know, I was making money spraying houses too. So that's how I was able to fund that. That's how I did it.
So how long did it take to get the formula?
a very long time, actually, longer than I had anticipated. What was easy, actually, was getting the film property, so the hardness, the scratches and whatnot. What was very difficult was being able to apply it consistently on site. What we realized was, the reason for that is, it always changes, right? The humidity, the air temperature, the ambient conditions, all of it always changes. So what we had to do is we had to create additives to be able to weather adjust those products on site. That actually became our first patent. So based on the ambient air conditions and a few other variables, we either slow down or speed up the dry time, which allows the coating to coalesce properly, which gives us that 15-year factory durable finish.
Did you have to create special equipment to do this, or did the equipment already exist?
So we actually tailored the chemistry on equipment that already existed for this business. For another business we may speak about later, we had to actually create the equipment. But for this business, we literally started with a Graco spray equipment, and we tailored the chemistry to be able to apply to those machines.
So about how long did it take to have the formulation?
The first product took about 2 years. And then after that, it was a bit simpler for us to create all the other stuff. So that was for front doors and garage doors and windows. Then we created one for aluminum siding, for vinyl siding, which we also have a second patent on. We did a brick stain. And then actually a few years later, we actually got into kitchen cabinet refinishing. So we created a process around that and chemistry around that too.
So when you had that first formulation, you'd say, okay, now I can go paint front doors and garage doors. So now you go and you start marketing that yourself?
I use the same formula as college for. We started knocking on doors at first. We sprayed one person's front door and garage door, and we did 13 houses on the same street. I was literally like, hey, look what we can do. Yours is faded too. Let's go. And then bam, 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 bam. We did the whole street. And then from that, got some money. We started doing direct mail. And then we started doing, you know, Facebook ads. Then we started doing Google ads. And then it just snowballed from there. We went from 250,000 in sales in 2012 to 3.2 million just 3 years later. Just to give you an idea, that's in 5 months, because we can only operate in 5 months here in Canada because it's cold the rest of the year. So we had 3.2 million in 5 months, and our average job size was less than $3,000. So we did 1,000 jobs in 5 months.
That's incredible. And so that's interesting, because you got the know-how for that through College Pro Painters, because you would just work in the summers.
100%. Right? What's funny is, full circle, our VP now, our COO, actually was the VP at College Pro who taught me how to run a College Pro business. So now he's helping our franchisees, you know, build the foundation for their businesses.
That's great. So in 3 years, you go from 250 to 3.2 million. So you're like 2015 now, 2016. Did you have to make the product yourself from the beginning?
So at first, one of the chemists that I partnered with had a small manufacturing facility. But as we grew, you know, we had to have our own facility. So now we actually have a total of a bit over 20,000 square feet where we just manufacture all the products and distribute them across North America to our franchisees.
How'd you pay for all that?
Reinvesting into the business every single year. Honestly, like, I don't think I've ever taken out a day. I've taken out salary, but never a dividend. It's just full reinvestment.
Yeah. Wow.
Wow. 15 years of reinvestment.
15. Yeah. Well, yeah. Like we discussed privately, you need to start taking some money, my friend. And then when did you start franchising it?
End of 2014. So really 2015. And the reason for that, the story I always tell is, you know, I mentioned we did 1,000 jobs in 5 months. I had no call center. I was, you know, the main sales manager. I was the main production manager. And that day, one day, I literally was spraying a house because somebody didn't show up. We had about 25 trucks on the road. So I just happened to go spray a house, customer on the phone. Phone fell from my ear. I threw my spray gun down. I said, you know what? Enough is enough. This is not sustainable. This is crazy. And that's when the aha moment was, I read this book called The E-Myth Revisited. It spoke about franchising. I said, I used to be a franchisee. Maybe franchising is the route to go. And we signed our first two franchisees that year, 1 2 hours east of here, 1 2 hours west of here. And honestly, we had no training, no idea how to be a franchisor, and they both did really well. So I said, must be onto something with this whole franchising thing. And that's kind of how it started.
So I read The E-Myth Revisited, and I did the same thing. And I started franchising. And I lost everything financially. It was $1 million in debt. We lost the house. All of our money basically was gone. Had to give my cars back. And I was older than you when that happened. Franchising is a tough, tough business. But you've done a really good job with it.
It's crazy. We've got franchisees renewing their franchise agreement. It's a 10-year franchise agreement. Like, it makes me feel old. It's crazy. Like, these people have been here for 10 years. It's cool though. It's cool.
And it says a lot that they want to, renew.
Yeah. Well, they're running multi-million dollar businesses, right? Like, I mean, yeah. It makes sense. They're making money. It's an asset they could sell if they wanted to. They could pass it down to their employees, their kids. Franchising is definitely very tough, but when it works really well. And it's cool to see, right? That's the gratifying part.
So then in your facility, you're manufacturing the product, you're sending it out, you're doing the training and all of that. Do you want to talk about your new product?
If you do, sure.
Because I'm fascinated by it. You know, I was speaking to a roofer this morning and I mentioned it. And the first thing he said to me is, I hate those oils and all of that stuff. And I said, dude, this is not that. This is totally different. So your new product is called LiquiRoof. And when I first saw it, I thought, whoa, this is really, really cool. And my first question to you was, well, aren't there other people doing this? And you said there aren't, but there's a company out there that advertises on TV. But essentially what they're doing is they're going up on a roof and what are they doing? They're putting oil on the roof?
Yeah, so they're spraying some variation of soybean oil. They call it bio oil, they call it nano, they call whatever. They have a whole bunch of different names for it because there's a whole bunch of different brands doing it. But essentially what they're doing is once the roof loses its granules, the asphalt is exposed and it starts to dry out. So they're essentially just rejuvenating it. So they're remoisturizing it. Think of like putting cream on your dry skin, right? But this doesn't fix your skin. What we're doing is we're literally giving you a new skin. So we're resurfacing the roof. So granule loss is actually the number one reason why roofs deteriorate, right? Because you lose your impact resistance and the asphalt starts to dry out. So what we're actually doing is we're actually gluing on, embedding a new layer of roof granules. What that does is it allows you to change the color of your roof. It doesn't look like you replace it because the granules give that color. And it also increases impact and wind resistance. So more hail-proof, windproof. Honestly, it's actually stronger than new. And when you mentioned before, like, did you have to create equipment for it? For this product, we did. There was no pump on the market that could spray this type of aggregated material. And we actually had to custom manufacture a pump for it. We actually also got a patent on the product. And the number one thing that people ask me at first is, oh, is this like what you mentioned? This is another oil. Not at all. Like, oil is maintenance. You got to do it every few years. This is literally an alternative to roof replacement.
Listeners, I'm learning about this just as you are. I'm fascinated by this. I think it's really cool. What condition does the roof have to be in for it to be a good candidate for your solution?
So we'll do a roof assessment, but essentially any roof. I mean, look, if your roof is brand new, there's no need, right? Wait for at least like the first 15, 20% of the granules to come off, which typically will take between 3 and 7 years, right? Unless someone buys a house and they want to change the color of the roof without spending all the money to replace it. But let's say call it, you know, after that first rapid cure initial phase, anybody's roof, as long as...
Hey, Brian Kaskavalsian here. Can I tell you something most contractors don't want to hear? The reason you're stuck isn't because you're not working hard enough. It's because you've become too important to your business. Every lead, every hiring decision, every customer issue, every problem somehow finds its way back to you. And while the company may be growing, your freedom isn't. That's exactly why we created Success Society. It's a group of growth-minded home improvement business owners who are committed to building companies that produce more profit, run with less owner dependence, and create real wealth. If you've ever wondered what it would take to get your business to the next level, make more money, and stop carrying the entire company on your shoulders, let's have a conversation. Go to theentrydoor.info and schedule a quick 15-minute call. That's theentrydoor.info. Let's see if Success Society is a fit for you.
At least 80% of the roof doesn't need to replace. So like, if there's like repairs here and there, we'll do them first and then we'll resurface the whole roof.
So you are doing repairs?
100%. So like, if there's a few shingles that need to be replaced or a roof boot or whatnot, we'll do those first and then we'll resurface the whole thing. And basically it's as good as new, actually stronger than new.
My second business was it started off as a bathtub refinishing business. And it was basically, you know, it was a coatings business, kind of like what you're doing. But the idea of doing that on a roof, so you've got, your guys are climbing up there, they've got ladders, I'm sure they've got safety equipment and all of that. And so there's a special pump that you're using, special equipment, and then they just go up there after they do the repairs and they're spraying this thing on.
Yeah, it's not like a coating. If you see on our website how we do it, it's literally like this big wand that pumps the material, and we're just honestly almost splattering granules onto the roof, and it gives it a new skin. It's not a coating. It's literally a new layer of granules.
How long does it last?
Look, I mean, we give a 15-year warranty. In theory, it'll last essentially forever, because the reason why roofs deteriorate is granule loss. When we do the ASTM D4977, we actually get over 90% less granule loss in a brand new roof. So if the granules never come off, essentially your roof will always be protected.
So have you started offering this product in the States?
So we have. So we've done roofs in Cincinnati, Indianapolis, Knoxville, Tennessee, Columbus, Ohio. Initially, we thought this was going to be a spray net service. We would just layer it onto exterior cabinets. We quickly realized like this is a brand in and of itself. Like it needs to be separate. We've had a few of our franchises doing it that will continue doing it. We're actually offering this as a franchise model soon. In the next month or so, maybe by the time this even airs, we'll be offering franchises of public roof.
You know, I'm fascinated by this whole roofing, because so many of our clients, and I would imagine so many of our listeners, are in the roofing business. So some of them will look at you and say, oh, you know, this is stupid. I don't want to do that. I'm going to go in there. I'm going to replace a roof. I'm not going to go and spray a roof. But I wonder if it's the same. I wonder if it's the same customer.
There is a point where you should just replace your roof, right? Like if like the underlying structure is like rotted or whatnot, like we're not going to start resurfacing it, right? Like there's probably like 20% of roofs that we go see that, hey, you should replace it. But there's a lot more that should just resurface. And that's kind of what we're going for. Also, even just for insurance companies, like this is a fraction of the cost, time, and mess. I know the mess is more important for the homeowner, but the time and the cost, like you're increasing impact resistance. If there's latent hail damage, we could resurface it. You don't have to replace the whole roof. Like there's a lot of times where you don't need to replace your roof, but your only option was repair, but then you have a mismatch of color, or a replace. We're that third option that fits nicely in the middle.
The storm chasers are not going to be happy hearing that. And they're not going to be happy with you going to insurance companies and saying, hey, instead of replacing all of those roofs that you replace in storm, there are markets where, like Dallas, where homeowners don't buy roofs. Insurance companies buy roofs. That's going to be really interesting. It's going to be interesting to see. Like I always look at it, you know, the marketing side of it. How do you sell it? What's the messaging? I think you're onto something.
I spent almost 10 years developing this product within SprayNet. Honestly, like the reception is just phenomenal. But to your point about insurance companies, deductibles are going higher and higher.
Yeah.
People are not getting their insurance renewed. So like you can liquid roof your roof for less than the cost of your deductible in a lot of cases. So like it's a no-brainer for them too, right? For the homeowner who may not get their insurance renewed because they don't have enough granules on the roof. We've looked at this from a whole bunch of different angles, and like honestly, like I think we're onto something too. And maybe those storm chasers could just get a liquid roof franchise.
At retail, what does it cost about to do it on a regular house?
So it depends on the pitch of the roof, but we're generally less than half the cost of replacement. So 40 to 50% generally. But you get all the benefits of it. And actually, it sounds crazy to say it, but it actually will be stronger than a new roof. So like we've taken shingles that are not class four and resurfaced them and they become class four.
Is it a one-day deal?
Yeah, well, it depends. If there's repairs, we'll do the repairs and we'll clean it and then we'll come back and resurface. But generally resurfacing takes, half a day to a day.
And how many people on a crew?
Three.
Three people on a crew.
Yeah, so you got one guy on the floor, you know, mixing the granules in and filling the pump. And then you've got typically two people on the roof, one person holding the hose and one person spraying.
I think you're really onto something. And that's part of the reason why I wanted to have you here is because I wanted to talk to you more about this. I think it's really interesting what you're trying to do. And I guess if people are interested, reach out. It's, what is it? Liqua-roof.com?
Liqua-roof.com. So no dash.
Okay. Sorry. Yeah. We'll put it in the notes so that people can, if they're interested, can go and check it out. So you've got a chemical company, you've got a distribution company, you've got a franchise company. Now, do you also do retail as well?
We don't. Because everything that we manufacture requires specific process and equipment to be applied. So it goes through our franchise model.
Yeah. Very cool. Okay. So you read the E-Myth and that caused you to create a franchise. What else have you read that sparked something in you?
The Hard Thing About Hard Things. That was a really good book. And also Winning was a really good book. Because I think mindset is so important in business. And I see it all the time with franchisees. Honestly, if you tell me, you know, the franchises do well versus franchises don't, like 80% of it is mindset, maybe even more. So reading books about how hard things are and persevering through that, you know, you got also the book Grit from, you know, Angela Duckworth. Those books are validating because it's like, man, like, should I be really like, should it be this hard? Should I be always pushing this much? And the answer is yes. Like the people who succeed are the ones that don't quit. Those are the books that resonate with me the most, because the other ones are great. Like they're theoretical and stuff like that. But those ones, like mindset is so important. You can do anything with the right mindset.
Yeah. And we totally agree on that. And especially when you're in the business that you're in, the difference between like a franchise, just for those of you that are in like a dealer network. So if you're in a franchise, you're not familiar with this, you're signing a contract and you're basically stuck in this contract. You got to do what the agreement tells you to do. Now, the other side of that, so that's a con, but the other side of that is they give you all the systems and processes and the equipment and the everything. And here's how you go and you do it. And you'll see like, what is the difference? Because everybody in a franchise gets the same thing, the same tools, the same resources, the same support, the same training, the same product, the same everything. So why can one person go in and be successful and another person not? And it comes down to what you said. It's mindset. Totally. I see the same thing with just business owners in general. Like when I asked you about, you know, what made you ambitious, how many 18-year-olds can get up on the table in a cafeteria and say to everybody, hey, who wants a summer job? Not many. Not many, because people will be afraid. Well, what do people think of me? You know, they're going to judge me. They're afraid for God knows whatever reasons. I probably couldn't have done that at 18 or 19 years old, but you did. You didn't give a crap.
At hindsight, this is pretty crazy. Even just knocking on people's doors.
And like knocking on doors. There's another thing too. And I agree with you. I think college pro painters for kids is a great thing. I actually think restaurants, I think every kid should have to work in a restaurant because it's hard. That's hard to do and to do it well. And you learn so many different skills. You learn about service. You learn about dealing with people, how to talk with people, how to not talk with people. The service, though, is the biggest one, is we need to learn how to serve one another, because that's the only way you're going to get ahead in life. That's the only way you're going to build anything in business substantial, is by understanding the service part of it. That's really interesting. What are some of the things that you've noticed now that you've been doing this for 10 years around mindset? What are some of the things that you've noticed that the great franchisees do versus even the good franchisees?
Super obvious. It's a long-term mindset. It's people make investments into the future. Their people, their marketing, they look at everything as an investment and they're building an asset. And then you got the flip side is everybody's looking at, you know, not past their nose, like, what does the next week look like? What does the next 2 weeks look like? And they never think like, am I building something for the future? And they're making decisions based on costs and expenses versus investments. And I think that mindset shift really is what unlocks things, because I don't have one franchisee who's built a multi-million dollar business on their own. They built teams and those teams help them build a business. But if you're not investing in your people, and then if you're not investing in marketing to make sure those people have work, you're never going to have a business. Right? People just get stuck in this cycle of like, well, marketing is a cost. It's an expense. My people are an expense. No, both of those are your biggest investments and you need to invest in them every single day.
Yeah. And one of the things I talk about a lot, and we just had our Success Society groups in last week. We talk so much about what is it that you want? What do you want to get out of this? And it's so interesting that the people that can tell me what they want will get there. They get there. And the people that don't have a clue as to, and I don't mean that in a bad way, when they don't understand, well, why am I in business? How much money do I want to make? What does my dream life look like? If you don't understand those things, then it's hard to make those investments that you're talking about, because you just can't see past, like you said, you can't see past your nose.
I think also a lot of people, especially buying a franchise, they think they're buying a business that's already built. And in a way, it has been. But if you don't nurture it, you're essentially going to buy yourself a job and not an asset that you can sell. So what we try to teach them is, here are the things that you need to do to have an asset that's sellable. And once you have an asset that's sellable, you have to work on the business. And typically when it becomes sellable, it becomes a little bit funner to operate and you don't sell it, right? So that's kind of where we want to get them to, because we don't want the guy who's going to be on a job site all year.
Because you can't scale a business that way.
Right. Yeah, no. We talk about that a lot. I mean, we've got different levels of coaching groups, and the growth group, what we call the growth group, that's where they are. They're the ones that are running everything. And our job is to help them, give them the tools, give them the confidence, give them the support they need to stop doing everything themselves and start building the teams around them. You got to start with the sales team, a production team, and eventually work yourself into a marketing team. And now you've got this well-rounded team, and then you put management on top of it as the business grows, you know, and on. But I like what you said about they see it as an investment. They're thinking about this as the future. And I think that when you can also see, like, where am I going as a person? Where do I want to live? What do I want to drive? How do I want to spend my time? You know, do I have a hobby? Do I like to travel? What do I like to do? Let's figure all of those things out. Let's put a number to it, and then let's build a business that gets us to that. That's always been my contention. That when you have that in mind and you're hungry for it and you're willing to do what it takes to get there, man, it happens. And in some cases, it happens really fast.
Yeah. And basically, I think what you're saying is clarity, right? Having clarity.
Absolutely.
And that cascades down to your team too. What do they want? Can they achieve that in the business? At what level does the business need to get to so that they can have a career path that, you know, they're motivated towards? And it's so important. Just like the way that we explain to them is, there's three phases. There's the I do it phase, where you're in startup, you're doing everything. And there's the we do it phase, where you're in there with the guys. And then there's the they do it phase. And the they do it phase, that's when you're really building enterprise value. And that's where you can really start scaling. So how do we get to the they do it phase as quick as possible? And that's what we help them do.
Is that your own, or did you read that somewhere?
Good question. I don't remember, because I was tinkering with a whole bunch of different models, and I think we created that model, but it came from a startup, building, emerging, scaling, and then we just added those layers on top.
Yeah, it's interesting, because that's how our groups work too. Right now we have two. We're opening the third one in the third quarter of this year, and I think the fourth level will be probably sometime next year. But it's funny, because it goes right along with that. The first group is all about I do everything. Then it's we do it. And then, but ultimately, we have to get to the place, if that's what you want, ultimately, we have to get to a place where they do it. And that's really good. I'm going to borrow that. I will give you credit for it, though, Carmelo. I always do. I don't steal people's stuff without giving them credit. I'm gonna say I learned this from Carmelo at Spring.
Now I'm worried that I stole it, and I'm not giving someone credit for it. I can't remember, to be honest.
No, it's pretty good. You can claim it as your own. By the way, you know what's so funny? So Addy said something like that, like a month ago, and I was just like, "Whoa, wow, that's really good. That's really powerful." I said, did you read that somewhere, or did you just make that up? And she said, I don't know. That's just what I believe. She said, you take care of your people will take care of your customer, and then your customer will take care of you. And I thought, wow, that was really good. So I went to ChatGPT and I said, hey, is this original, or did somebody else come up with this? And it was close to original. Like, there was no quote. It couldn't find a quote about it. But last week, One of our members who are building amazing business, husband and wife team, the husband's super, super smart guy. He's like a COO integrator type. The wife is just like, she's like, I don't know how to describe her, but she's when you see her, like, she's just a bundle of energy, a lot like Addy. She said almost the same thing. And I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. I said, come here. I took her to Addy. I said, tell me what you just said. And so anyway, maybe it's a woman thing. Maybe it's women think more that way than we do. I'm fascinated by your story, your products, by you. Thank you for being here. I hope that the listener got some value from this. I think there's a lot of good stuff here. And if anybody's interested in the Liqua Roof thing, go look it up. Meet Carmelo. He's a really cool dude. But I want to hear about it. If you decide to go into this business, I really want to hear about it because I'm fascinated by it. Thank you, Carmelo. Appreciate you being here.
Thanks for having me, man.
All right, everybody. So until next time, this is Brian Kaskavalsian, and this is the Wealthy Contractor Podcast. Hope you enjoyed this week's episode. For insights on skyrocketing your home improvement business and accelerating your journey to the success, wealth, and freedom you've always dreamed about, be sure to get your free copy of my best-selling book, The 7 Secrets to Becoming a Wealthy Contractor, at www.thewealthycontractor.com. And don't forget to follow us on your favorite podcast platform so you never miss an episode. See you next time.